angels waging war in the unseen realm. Global events fulfilling biblical prophecy. Eternal life. What lies beyond mortality? From analyzing the paranormal from a biblical worldview to the discussion of cutting-edge science and technology, conspiracy, discovery, special investigative reports. Unafraid to explore the challenging issues facing humanity, welcome to another edition of Skywatch TV.
Hello and welcome to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. Today's guest has had everything that people think they want. Fame, money, power, influence. He's one of the largest names of all time in professional wrestling. He's a former WWE superstar, wrestling Hall of Fame legend, and one of the most notorious villain characters in sports entertainment history. He's here to share his powerful testimony of Christ's redemptive power. Watch this.
Yep, that's my dad. He loved to lace up his boots. He loved the roar of the crowd, who battled with the giants and titans that were larger than life. Yep, that's my dad. Who said, everybody's got a price.
Everybody's got a price for the $1 million man.
And when it came to fame, he learned that, well, it's true.
Ultimately, I always get what I want and I always get my way. And eventually, I'll have it all.
My wife, who was totally committed to me, my wife, who never called me anywhere in the world to check up on me, had now discovered that I was committing adultery.
When I discovered that Ted had been cheating in our marriage, I had to hold it together for my children.
In a lot of cases, the price of fame is too costly.
That you've never said sorry to my face.
There's nothing wrong with going and trying your hardest at anything you love, but not for fame.
Your dad is so not the same person he was. We don't even identify with the people we were.
The one thing that kept me sane through all of this was my relationship with the Lord.
And all I ever wanted when I was 15 years old was to make you proud. And now I think that I have.
Following your footsteps again, you know, I wanted to be a wrestler. Now I want to be that kind of dad, and I want my son to be proud of me because of the man that I've become, the character and integrity that I exemplify. And the only reason I want that and desire that is because that's the man you became.
Everybody's got a price. The price of fame is high.
Welcome back. Joining me on the panel today is the newest member of the Skywatch TV team and longtime professional wrestling enthusiast, Mr. Jason Pumphrey. Welcome to the panel.
Thanks, Joe. Good to be here.
And wrestling legend, the man himself, Mr. Ted DiBiase. Thanks for being on the show.
Great to be here with you, Joe. My pleasure.
So, Ted, let's just dive straight in. For the people at home that are not familiar with professional wrestling in general or, for example, your career, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got started in the wrestling business, how big it blew up for you career-wise, and maybe eventually how you found Jesus?
You know, pro wrestling is obviously not a normal job. What do you do for a living, Ted? Well, I run around in spandex and hit people in the head with chairs. But right. The influence was my stepfather, Mike DiBiase, who came into my life when I was five, who was not only a professional wrestler, but a national amateur champion with a storied career out of the University of Nebraska. So sure. He was my hero growing up, the guy I wanted to emulate. And I lost him. He died when I was 15 years old. And I finished high school in Southern Arizona. Went to college on a football scholarship and then out of college into professional wrestling. Wanted to be like my dad. You know, wrestling when I first started was done on a very regional basis. It wasn't like the WWE is today, where it's national and international. But I was a part of wrestling when it exploded.
Right.
I had been in wrestling for 12 years when I went to the WWF, as it was known then,
right,
and became
right,
this character, the Million Dollar Man.
Right.
I was pretty much handpicked by Vince McMahon to be this character because he had watched me as what we term in wrestling a heel.
yes.
bad guy.
Yeah. Yes.
And I was always, you know, the bully. I was the guy who talked real big, and then
right.
when somebody would get in my face, I'd back up, and
right.
and then I would do all the dirty stuff, you know. And so, you
but
know,
every good baby face, which is the good guy, needs right. a great heel. Otherwise, people aren't connected to the match.
Absolutely.
And Ted was the best.
He was, yeah, arguably the best bad guy in the history of the business.
I have a lot of fans come now to the autograph signings that I've done, and they'll go, please don't be offended, Mr. DiBiase, but when I was a kid, I hated your guts.
I was telling them that last night at dinner.
I just laugh yeah. and go, thank you. That meant I did my job very well. So,
right, you did.
But the influence was my dad, and of course, the one thing that he never wanted me to be was a professional wrestler.
I see.
Not because of the wrestling, not because of the job itself, but because of the lifestyle that came along with it.
Right.
And that's a big part of my story. I married my wife, Melanie, on New Year's Eve, 1981. And at that time, it was still regional wrestling. And God blessed us with two children, our sons, Ted Jr. and Brett. I was Georgia Championship Wrestling, Mid-South Wrestling, went back to Georgia. And then when I came back to Mid-South in 84, this was right about the time the WWF was starting to take off.
Right.
And it was in 1987 when I got the call and then became this character, the Million Dollar Man. So I go from regional wrestling
right.
to wrestling all over the country and all over the world. And this character, I mean, Vince McMahon does everything in a big way. And he said, we want to make the public believe as much as possible that
sure.
you are this guy.
Right.
And I said, how are you going to do that? I said, well, we're going to fly everywhere first class. Sometimes that'll mean private jets. You're going to have limousine service every day from airport to hotel to Coliseum to hotel back to airport.
Right.
So wherever the public sees you, they uh-huh. see the appearance of wealth. And he said, you won't be staying at the Red Roof Inn anymore.
So you're in character all the time.
Well, it's yes and no. It's like as far as the public sees just from a distance. Now, you know, I didn't treat people ugly when I was in an airport
gotcha.
Or whatever. You know, what was funny about kids, especially,
right.
I would get out of a limousine and walk into the Coliseum, you know, and they'd be throwing their cups and rocks at me. Right? The same kids would be in the lobby of the hotel when they find out where we were staying
uh-huh.
with an autograph pad
yes.
afterwards. And they said, didn't I see you a little earlier?
Yes.
No, I wouldn't.
yeah.
But anyway, it just became, we became like rock stars. And we were traveling like
right,
rock stars.
Right, right.
It was a grueling schedule. I mean, when I first started, we would be on the road three straight weeks, 21 days, 21 cities. And then we'd go home for a week. But the first day off, you're getting home. The last day off, you're going back to work. So five full days. And
right.
so the reason I did my documentary, The Price of Fame, is that fame is not what we think it is. You see somebody in the Coliseum with everybody screaming and yelling, and that is a big thrill. But what the people don't see is when you leave that place and
right.
you go back to an empty hotel room night after night after night, you know, and your family's, you know, whether they're 20 miles away or 2,000 miles away, they're not there.
Right.
And that becomes a very lonely place. And you go down to the bar and have a beer with the guys, and one turns into two, and
sure.
down the road you go. And that's what happened to me. I fell in like so many guys do and got caught up in that.
And, of course, everywhere you went, people were recognizing you. It's,
yes.
you know, this was huge. In the 80s, for those that have never followed professional wrestling, what Ted was describing about wrestling being more regional, you would go in your state, maybe you had one option to go see local wrestling. But Vince McMahon shows up in the early 80s, and he's got this big dream to really launch kind of a unification movement
right.
and have one big major brand, which at the time was known as the World Wrestling Federation.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys became Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Ted DiBiase, Macho Man, Randy Savage. These guys were rock stars in terms of the money and the,
right.
and the fame
right.
and the power. And
oh, yeah. We go from regional wrestling in these little territories, as we called them, to wrestling in coliseums everywhere we go, major coliseums, and then all of the stuff that comes along with that, action figures.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yes.
Video games and all of that. I mean...
And I was familiar with all of that as a kid.
Yeah.
We played Jason and I, you know,
oh,
we
yeah.
played the video games. And in fact, I'll throw up a picture on the screen for you guys to see, you know, my kids today, they're fans of the old wrestling product.
Right.
You know, back when it was just, you know, simple stuff. Good guy versus right. bad guy. There was a simple story to understand.
You knew who to cheer for, who to boo.
Right. It was kind of before a lot of the women were starting to be involved in bikinis, and the language became
right.
kind of,
right.
you know, the need to be censored. And
that was,
you know, more in the 2000s.
Yeah. They termed the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And more than anything, I think that was Vince's way to try to combat WCW, which became an issue. The biggest rivalry in wrestling for a while was the battle between the WWF and the WCW, the two different
right.
entities,
right.
you know, Ted Turner and Vince
right.
McMahon. And I think that's what, at least my understanding, that's why Vince went with some of the sleaze stuff. And I was, you know, by that time I was out sharing my story of redemption, and
right. Right.
And I was very vocal about not liking, you know, the sleaze.
Sure. Sure. Well, let's get back to that because, you know, I think our viewers at home would really like to hear. So you're living this rock star life. You've got money, power, influence, all the things that people think they yearn for, you know, who've never had it. This is what they believe is going to make them happy. If I only had more money, if I only had more respect from my peers, whatever.
Right.
But you found smack dab in the middle of all of that. What,
yeah.
Ted?
I found that it was a lie. I believe God allowed me to go to that. It's almost like I say, God said, okay, go get all the things you think you want.
Right.
Somewhere down the road, we'll have another discussion about it. And so, I climbed to the top. I mean, I was at the top of my game. I was, you know, considered one of the top five guys in the industry at the time and making great money and all that stuff. But I was caught up in that lifestyle as well. So I'm on the road partying and with
right.
the best of them, you know, and of course, telling everybody I'm a Christian and I have a wife at home that thinks I am,
right?
And I'm not living that life. That's like I'm living two different lives and identities. And then when my wife, you know, caught me cheating, basically, it was like the wake up call. I mean, immediately, I remember saying, I don't want to talk about it on the phone. I'll be on the next plane home. She said, no, you won't.
Oh, yes.
You don't live here anymore.
Wow.
Click.
Click.
And the first words out of my mouth were, oh, God, help me.
Whoa.
Hypocrisy. Oh, my gosh. And but in the flash of a second, the realization, it's like, you know, God says, you know, whatever we do in darkness will be revealed in the light. And when it is, you see it and you see yourself for who you really are.
Right.
You know, not that person, you know, because you keep trying to make excuses for it. And there were no more excuses. It was right there in the open. And in that moment, I realized that I had put at risk the most valuable things in my life.
Mm-hmm.
The love and devotion of a committed wife,
mm-hmm.
the future, the stability, the peace of mind, and the well-being of my own children. And for what? To stroke my ego. And it was, you know, it was a very humbling moment. It was a real come to Jesus moment for me. The guy who's he's my best friend. He's a pastor now. I mm-hmm. met him when he was a youth minister, Hal Santos. I called him, and he made arrangements for Melanie and I to fly to St. Louis, and he counseled us. On the way, we agreed to go with him to this event in Chicago they hold mm-hmm. every year called the Ascension Convention. It's
okay.
a big youth rally. On the way up there, he gave me a book written by Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole, Maximized Manhood,
okay.
which talks, basically, Dr. Cole says, manhood is synonymous with Christ-likeness. The more Christ-like you are in character, the bigger man you are.
Mm.
You know, a real man is a man of his word. He's mm-hmm. a man of strong character and integrity, and he's only as good as his word. If his word's no good, he's worthless. I'm reading this book, and I'm at the top of the game. I've got all the stuff, you know.
Right.
But then God spoke to my heart, and he said, Ted, he said, you were a bigger man when you were 15 years old. When you would go to that desert cemetery where your father's buried and cry out to me, you were a bigger man then than you are right now. And right now you got everything you thought you ever wanted. What do you have that means anything?
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
It was empty. And until I could fill that void, I was not going to be satisfied again. And so at this big youth rally in Chicago, I mean, you know, I kind of want, you know, wonder why am I mean, I confessed to God, I've confessed to my wife, and I've confessed to Pastor Hal, nobody else to confess to. Why am I at this youth rally? Well, I know now. I mean, you know, Jesus said it. He says, if you will not confess me before man, right. I cannot confess you before my Heavenly Father. And the beginning of all genuine repentance is humility.
Right.
So God puts me in front of 1,500 teenagers who recognize me as the million-dollar man, you know, from World Wrestling Federation.
Right.
And when the invitation is given, would the million-dollar man get out of his chair and in front of all those kids go forward in humility? I beat every kid in the building to the front of the room. I fell on my face and cried like a baby, and it was the beginning of a whole new life.
Mm-hmm.
My wife was there. She witnessed all of this, and Melanie was like, had she not been as strong in her faith at the time,
yes,
she was very grounded. And I know with all my heart, if she had not been grounded, you know, I'd have lost her for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she said, as we've gone out and speaking to other people, couples, you know, I could have easily run to the world and heard what I wanted to hear from people, or I could do what I knew was the right thing to do and go to my church family and those closest to me in the Lord and seek their counsel. And that's what she did. You know, so she witnessed all of this, and she saw me on my face crying, and she said, Ted, I believe that you're truly sorry. And I said, I want to believe you are.
Mm-hmm.
She said, now I'm not going to make you a promise I can't keep because I just don't know if I'm strong enough to do this. She said, but I serve a God of restoration, not divorce.
Wow.
And she goes, because I want to be obedient, and that's the word she used, I want to be obedient to the still small voice in my heart that right now is telling me to give you another chance. All I can say is I'll try. And she made sure I understood, I'm not doing this for you. You don't deserve it. I'm doing this out of obedience to God. But the fact that she was willing to do that overwhelmed me,
mm-hmm,
to the point where I was like, and I just read that book. And I looked at her that day and I said, if you'll give me this chance, I'll become the man you thought you married. I'll become a man of character and integrity. I will become the spiritual leader in my home, and God willing, one day regain your trust and respect. And Melanie and I have been married, you know, 37 years now. And I tell people all the time, God doesn't just fix things. Jesus said, I come that you have life and have it more abundantly.
Right.
In my relationship with my wife today, because we have weathered all those storms in life, we're closer and more intimate in every way. And it's hard for me to express that.
Right.
But that was the difference in my life. And at the time, I had no idea that that would one day lead to me, you know, stepping away from the only life I'd ever known. I was in the industry 25 years.
Right.
And now I'm going to step away with that without any formal,
sure,
training or education and become an evangelist. And I've done that for 18 years, almost 19 years.
Right.
And that was probably that was a real leap of faith for me. I mean, it's like I'm,
sure,
walking away from the security of a really good income.
Right.
Because I could have stayed with them in other capacities and done,
sure,
anything, not just wrestle.
Sure.
And now I'm going to trust God every day for every dollar that he's going to fill my plate.
Right.
But I tell you what, I have never been happier and more fulfilled in my life, and it's not about money.
Right.
You know, the lives that God has changed through my ministry has just been incredible.
We're talking with Ted DiBiase about his rise to fame, stardom, power, influence, and how that ultimately led him to the cross and redemption. You can learn about all of that in more depth in the documentary film, The Price of Fame. We're going to show you how you can get a copy of this, plus some other things, right after this. It's a story of hope, faith, and the redemption of professional wrestling Hall of Fame legend Ted DiBiase. Skywatch TV is proud to announce the Price of Fame special offer. In the new DVD documentary, Price of Fame, you'll hear firsthand accounts from Ted's family and closest friends about his rise to the top of the sports entertainment industry as one of professional wrestling's most notorious bad guys. How Ted's journey to fame, power, money, and influence nearly destroyed his life, and how he found a new hope and purpose in Jesus Christ, including interviews with Mick Foley, Roddy Piper, Shawn Michaels, and so many more. When you order The Price of Fame from Skywatch TV, you'll also receive the beautiful hardback edition book, Wrestling for My Life by iconic wrestling superstar Shawn Michaels. In this no-holds-barred masterpiece, you'll experience an intimate look into Shawn's multi-decade career in professional wrestling as one of its biggest stars of all time. Full of entertaining behind-the-scenes stories and inspirational insights, Shawn offers fascinating perspectives on how to follow God when it's not easy, and the depths of his commitment to Jesus Christ. But that's not all. You'll also receive the never-before-released Skywatch TV off-the-record interview with Ted DiBiase on DVD. This exclusive, three-part, behind-the-scenes DVD will give you an inside glimpse into the emotional highs and lows of one of professional wrestling's most iconic figures. Told like never before, this totally raw, unscripted interview is filled with personal stories of faith-affirming insights directly from Ted himself. Sold separately, this offer holds a retail value of over $70. Yours now for your donation of only $30 plus shipping and handling. So don't miss this incredible opportunity, the Price of Fame special offer. Order online now at the Skywatch TV store or call 1-844-750-4985. Welcome back to Skywatch TV. We're talking to Ted DiBiase. Jason, you had a question right before the break.
Yes, Ted. In the Price of Fame documentary, your son, Teddy, talks about your wife, Melanie, as the hero. What exactly did he mean by that?
Well, I understood what he meant. He's saying to his mom, "Mom, you're really the hero in this because you're the one who was offended and you were the one that had to forgive." But my wife's response to my son in the documentary, and even going forward, you know, it's almost like she wanted that edited out of it. She says, "I don't want anybody to think that I was a hero." She goes, "I'm not a hero." She says, "I was just as in need of God's grace as I was."
That's huge.
And that is
it's huge. Just mind-boggling.
Yeah. I mean, because what she was basically saying is that, you know, I knew the right thing to do, but I didn't want to do it. Right. And so she goes, "I was in as much need of grace as Ted was." So, but I tell you, Melanie is my rock. There's a song that Bette Midler sings, "The Wind Beneath My Wings," and every time I hear that song, I cry like a baby.
Oh, wow.
I mean, because she has, her example to me has been unbelievable.
And now I understand that you and your wife actually counsel other people in areas of marriage and stress.
You know, we don't do huge, you know, like marriage counseling events, but what we do is we keep it simple. We go to churches and special outings, and we'll separate, and I'll go speak to the men, and she'll go speak to the ladies, and then we'll come back and have a joint session. But in that joint session, really what I do is I set her up. I explain to the men and the women together, here's where Melanie and I were spiritually when we met, and I show them how she grew continually, and yet, you know, as much as I said, you know, and I walked the aisle a couple times under conviction, and as much as I said I was a Christian, reality was that I couldn't really be a Christian because what was still number one in my life was my career.
I see.
But again, the focus of what we share with these people is the forgiveness.
Right.
And I just set Melanie up so she can, and she says that, she goes, you know, when you hang on to anger and bitterness and you refuse to let it go, it's like drinking poison and expecting somebody else to die. The only one suffering from it is you.
Wow.
And we're commanded by God.
It's
commanded. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Mm-hmm. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You know, because we've been forgiven, we're called on to forgive. And it's powerful. And I started noticing this when I was out speaking on my own. And then after the church service, at the table, when I would, you know, greet people and take pictures and sign autographs, so many of the ladies would come up and say, "It's so wonderful that what God has done in your life. We would really love to hear from your wife. We would really love to hear from your wife."
That makes perfect sense. Yes.
So what they were saying to me is, "I want to know how." Mm-hmm. So we've started doing that, and you know, it's been great. God has used it. God will take your mess and make it a message if you let him.
In just a couple of minutes left, and we're going to talk more about this in next week's program too, but what are you up to currently now in ministry? And again, just a couple of minutes left, but maybe tease the next program. What are you doing now active in ministry?
Well, after 18 years of evangelism, I'm working closer to home. In those 18 years, I saw a lot of hurting pastors and pastors' wives.
Right.
I saw a lot of these guys would burn out. You know, they get to a place where they think they're all alone, or they're doing it all by themselves.
Right.
And I said, man, these guys need help. So my ministry is our verse is Galatians 6:2. When we carry each other's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to come alongside pastors and their wives, and you know, it's not like we're coming in and saying, hey, we've got the next great thing. We don't want anything. We want to help you. How can we help you carry this burden? And what we're trying to do is we're fostering new relationships for pastors with other pastors, and you know, to work together interdenominationally, mm-hmm. as well as interracially.
Right.
But with the pastors and their wives, you know, offering, for example, maybe do like a kids camp where the kids sure. camp is just for pastors' kids, so the pastors and their wives can
right.
get a break.
Yes.
Offering weekends for them to where maybe we offer just a little bit of, you know, counseling time, but the majority of the time is for the two of them to
right.
to be off and by themselves and enjoy each other.
What I appreciate so much about your testimony, Ted, is that you've experienced all of the things that people think they yearn for.
Yeah.
And so you're not just speculating about what it's like to have, you know, money or power or, you know, be traveling places and have a crowd of people groveling for your attention and wanting you to sign things and, you know, all of that stuff that we as finite human beings seem jealous of at times. We see, you know, yeah. famous movie stars and we want a piece of that, you know, not everybody, but, you know, a lot of people yeah. yearn for that stuff.
Right.
But you've been there and you've shared with our audience, you know, where that left mm-hmm. you. And I'm so glad that you found Christ and his redemptive plan for your life, because it seems like now he's using in all of these incredible ways. And we're going to talk some more about that in next week's program, where we continue with Ted DiBiase. For Jason Pumphrey and Ted DiBiase, thanks, fellas. I'm
Thank
Joe
you.
Horn, and this is SkyWatch TV. It's a story of hope, faith, and the redemption of Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame legend Ted DiBiase. SkyWatch TV is proud to announce the Price of Fame special offer. In the new DVD documentary, Price of Fame, you'll hear firsthand accounts from Ted's family and closest friends about his rise to the top of the sports entertainment industry as one of professional wrestling's most notorious bad guys. How Ted's journey to fame, power, money, and influence nearly destroyed his life, and how he found a new hope and purpose in Jesus Christ, including interviews with Mick Foley, Roddy Piper, Shawn Michaels, and so many more. When you order The Price of Fame from SkyWatch TV, you'll also receive the beautiful hardback edition book, Wrestling for My Life, by iconic wrestling superstar Shawn Michaels. But that's not all. You'll also receive the never-before-released SkyWatch TV off-the-record interview with Ted DiBiase on DVD. This exclusive, three-part, behind-the-scenes DVD will give you an inside glimpse into the emotional highs and lows of one of professional wrestling's most iconic figures. Sold separately, this offer holds a retail value of over $70. Yours now for your donation of only $30 plus shipping and handling. Order online now at the SkyWatch TV store or call 1-844-750-4985.